improves people's odds. This insight is easy to miss, though, since the management conversation in recent years has tilted away from thinking and toward doing. Witness the popularity of books like Execution. Also, many great integrative thinkers aren't even aware of their particular capability and thus don't consciously exercise it. Take Jack Welch, who is among the executives I have interviewed. He is clearly a consummate integrative thinker, but you'd never know it from reading his books. Indeed, my aim in this article is to deconstruct and describe a capability that seems to come naturally to many successful leaders. To illustrate the concept, I'll concentrate on an executive I talked with at length, Bob Young, the colorful co-founder and former CEO of Red Hat, the dominant distributor of Linux open-source software. The assumption underlying my examination of his and others' integrative thinking is this: it isn't just an ability you're born with, it's something you can hone. Opposable thumb, opposable mind. In the mid-1990s, Red Hat faced what seemed like two alternative paths to growth. At the time, the company sold packaged versions of Linux, open-source software, mainly to computer geeks, periodically bundling together new versions that included the latest upgrades from countless independent developers. As Red Hat looked to grow beyond its $1 million in annual sales, it could have chosen one of the two basic business models in the software industry. One was the classic proprietary software model employed by big players such as Microsoft, Oracle, and SAP, which sold customers operating software but not the source code. These companies invested heavily in research and development, guarded their intellectual property jealously, charged high prices, and enjoyed wide profit margins because their customers, lacking access to the source code, were essentially locked into purchasing regular upgrades. The alternative, employed by numerous small companies, including Red Hat itself, was the so-called free software model, in which suppliers sold CD-ROMs with both the software and the source code. The software products weren't in fact free, but prices were modest, $15 for a packaged version of the Linux operating system versus more than $200 for Microsoft Windows. Suppliers made money each time they assembled a new version from the many free updates by independent developers, but profit margins were narrow and revenue was uncertain. Corporate customers, looking for standardization and predictability, were wary not only of the unfamiliar software, but also of its small and idiosyncratic suppliers. Bob Young, a self-deprecating eccentric in an industry full of eccentrics, who signaled his affiliation with his company by regularly sporting red socks and a red hat, didn't like either of these models. The high-margin proprietary model ran counter to the whole philosophy of Linux and the open-source movement, even if there had been a way to create proprietary versions of the software. "Buying proprietary software is like buying a car with the hood welded shut," Young told me. "If something goes wrong, you can't even try to fix it." But the free software model meant scraping a slim profit from the packaging and distribution of a freely available commodity in a fringe market, which might have offered reasonable returns in the short term, but wasn't likely to deliver sustained profitable growth. Young likes to say that he's not one of the smart guys in the industry, that he's a salesman in a world of technical geniuses. Nonetheless, he managed to synthesize two seemingly irreconcilable business models, placing Red Hat on a path to tremendous success. His response to his strategic dilemma was to combine the free software model's low product price with the proprietary model's profitable service component, in the process creating something new, a corporate market for the Linux operating system. As is often the case with integrative thinking, Young included some twists on both models that made the synthesis work. Although inspired by the proprietary model, Red Hat's service offering was quite different. "If you ran into a bug that caused your systems to crash," Young said of the service you'd buy from the big proprietary shops, "you would call up the manufacturer and say, 'My system is crashing,' and he'd say, 'Oh dear,' while he really meant, 'Oh good.' He'd send an engineer over at several hundred dollars an hour to fix his software, which was broken when he delivered it to you, and he'd call that customer service." Red Hat, by contrast, helped companies manage the upgrades and improvements available almost daily through Linux's open-source platform.